Thursday, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Gazzola with you from TSN 1260, Edmonton sports leader, as we are just a day and a half away from the start of the Oilers qualifying round series against the Chicago Blackhawks, a best of five series. We'll see how this one goes down, which one of these two clubs will be able to move on to the formal postseason. And Chicago wrapped up its exhibition season, if you will, or the exhibition game that it was slated to have. And they took on the St. Louis Blues. Blackhawks winning that game by a score of 4-0. And to discuss what we saw in that game, I think it was a bit of a surprising result for a lot of people. Maybe caught a lot of Oilers fans' attention, not thinking that the Hawks would be able to pull off a clean, distinct victory over the St. Louis Blues, the defending Stanley Cup champion. So we'll have Jack Bushman on again from Locked On Blackhawks to give his take on what he saw in that game. I was impressed with the way Chicago played. I did watch that game. I did go back and watch the highlights just to make sure what I saw the first time was indeed what happened. And, you know, Jake Allen let in a pretty bad goal on the second Dominic Kubalik goal. But the first couple of goals on Jordan Binnington were nice plays, very similar. Tight cross-crease passes, one from Taves and the other from Kane on the goals from Dylan Strom. That was Kane to Strom on the second goal, and the first one was Taves to Brandon Saad. And, yeah, nice little redirections in tight to get the Hawks up 2-0. And then a couple more goals later on in the game on Jake Allen, who came in for Jordan Binnington. And then the fourth one was just absolutely terrible. So we'll get Jack Bushman's take on that, get a Blackhawks view of things as we get set for the Oilers and Blackhawks. We will also give our predictions going into the series as well. Have to do that, naturally. I did have the chance to go down to the arena last night. I caught the Winnipeg Jets and Vancouver Canucks tilt. And honestly, I thought Vancouver looked really good in the first period, really controlling the play, peppering Connor Hellebuyck. And slowly but surely, just the Winnipeg Jets took over that game and really put the pedal to the metal on the Canucks and swung it totally in their favor in what ended up being a 4-1 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously I wanted to see how those two teams were performing going into this qualifying round. But the other thing I really wanted to see was the arena and how it was set up in person. Of course, as opposed to just watching the games on TV. I watched every game on TV yesterday. And I will say, I put up a video, I tweeted out last night. It is really sharp. It's a clean look. Those LED lights are really bright. The screens in the corners are huge. It has like a TV set kind of feel to it. And it's a made-for-TV event, basically, this NHL's return to play. I like it. I think it's well done by the league. The league should be commended for what it has implemented here. And on TV, keep in mind, too, we haven't seen the full scope of what their broadcast will look like. They've kind of shown us bits and pieces of the new camera angles and some of the new elements that we are going to see on these broadcasts. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they really do have in store for us when it comes to the TV product. Now, in-house, people were asking me after I tweeted out that video, is there crowd noise pumped into the arena? Because you can hear some on the broadcast, especially when teams score. And the answer to the crowd noise question is no. There's no crowd noise whatsoever pumped into the arena. When there is a goal, all you hear is the team-specific goal horn and goal song. And that's it. No crowd noise whatsoever. You know, the standard music is played during the breaks in play and all of that. And it is cool to see how the league has all the rink staff cleaning everything. I saw a couple of rink rats cleaning the posts prior to the start of each period. So wiping down the posts even, and then they disinfect both benches in between periods. So very thorough by the league, and they're taking this thing very seriously when it comes to COVID-19. They put the protocol in place and they're following through. To my surprise, I knew the benches were always disinfected between periods, but to see like even the posts being wiped down as each goalie switches sides between periods was just the lengths that the NHL is going to make sure that this thing gets off without a hitch. And I think seeing that there was no positive COVID-19 test results the other day, that the league put out that memo, is another good sign and indicator that maybe this thing is on the right track and should continue to do so. I know the first 2 weeks, everyone's kind of watching these first 2 weeks in the bubble to make sure everything's going as planned, as smoothly as possible. And I can tell you it's pretty thorough, especially for us as media, when we go into the building. There's someone that asked me if we're penetrating the bubble at all. The answer is no. We have to come in from a completely separate entrance point. The areas in which we are allowed to roam in the arena is very limited. Basically, we go in at ground level, obviously, from the outside, check in, go through a screening process, you get your temperature taken, and then you are chaperoned up to the press level, which is the seventh level at Rogers Place. And you have a small section of area where you can walk. You have a bathroom and you have a small concession stand, and that's about it. And you're not allowed into the seats. You can only be in your designated spot at the drink rails. Everything is laid out for each media outlet. And I had more than 6 feet of social distancing space between myself and the next media outlet. And quite frankly, in terms of media actually present for last night's Jets Canucks game, I was one of, I think, six media in-house for that game, maybe seven. It's different. It's very different. But all in all, considering where we're at in the world, I commend the NHL for doing a great job. And everyone from the Oilers staff, Sean May, Andre Brin, Kate Doyle, because they're a part of this as well. Kate Doyle and Andre Brin in the bubble. Sean May helping out the NHL's PR staff, coordinating everything, and they're following it very well. And it's neat to see, and it's going to be interesting to see. I'm going to try to catch as many games as possible. And of course, keep in mind, the Don Wheaton on White pre and post game show is back. Myself, Connor Halley, Matt Cassian, and Hernan Salas. We're on the air for Tuesday's game. We're back at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time for Saturday's game one in the qualifying round series between the Oilers and the Blackhawks. Jack Bushman coming up, but first, one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us? Box so that they know that we sent you. Tom Gazzola from Locked On Oilers. Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks joining you once again for our crossover series here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Jack, the Blackhawks were in action on Wednesday afternoon. They took on their rivals from St. Louis. The end result is a 4-0 Blackhawks victory. Woo-hoo. What were some of the takeaways that you gleaned from that game? Because I'm not going to lie to you, I watched it, and I watched those Hawks, and I was like, not bad, pretty good.
Right? It seemed like everything kind of just went the Hawks' way yesterday. Not only the final score of 4-0, but we also saw them go, they cashed in for two power play goals. Dominic Kubalik scored both of them, which was great to see. I talked a little bit on the past couple episodes about how they were going to give Kubalik an extended look on that top power play unit, and it worked out pretty well. He cashed in for two power play goals yesterday. And also, the Hawks killed off all four of their penalties that they took, and three of those penalties were taken by David Kampf and Calvin DeHaan, frequent penalty killers for the Blackhawks. So they got the job done without those guys on the ice against a strong power play in the St. Louis Blues. And they were able to do all the little things well. They were blocking shots, winning some faceoffs, just making the easy plays. It seemed like they weren't trying to force anything, and they just simplified their game, and it worked out well for them. Came out with a 4-0 victory over the division rival and defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. I couldn't be happier with the result, Tom.
You just had to get that little St. Louis Blues defending Stanley Cup champion thing in there. I know, and it's rightfully so. Rightfully so. Put that feather in your cap, because that's an important win going into the qualifying round series against the Oilers that starts on Saturday. And when you look at the tail of the tape, Jack, you know, the Blackhawks outshoot the Blues 23-21. Faceoff battle pretty much split down the middle, 51-49%. Penalty minutes, obviously, both teams taking 4 penalties. Hits 31-19 in favor of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Block shots 16-10 for the Hawks. And then the giveaways 13-7. You know what? I usually toss away the giveaway stat because depending on who's the official game.
It's tough to record them all.
Yeah, exactly. But you highlight what was truly the difference, and that is that power play going 2-for-4 and the PK going 4-for-4. But a big part of that is goaltending. And I know talking to you all throughout the week and specifically yesterday, you brought up Corey Crawford a couple of times, and rightly so. He gets into this game. He splits the net with Malcolm Subban. What did you see from Corey Crawford? Do you think that he's going to instill enough confidence in 30 minutes of work in the Blackhawks faithful?
He was really strong, Tom. He stopped all 11 shots he faced in the first half of the contest. Definitely great to see after only a couple of practices since returning to Blackhawks training camp. And I thought he looked pretty comfortable for the most part. He made a couple big-time saves when the Hawks were shorthanded. He stood his ground well in net. And I think it was exactly what you could have hoped for, the best-case scenario out of Corey Crawford. He didn't allow a single goal. He was facing the St. Louis Blues penalty kill a couple times in the first period and looked comfortable. So I think this instilled some confidence in not only Crawford probably, but also the Blackhawks fans heading into game one, because I've talked about it a bunch. Crawford's going to have to be ready because you know Edmonton's going to throw all they got on him at him because they know he hasn't had many reps since returning to practice from his positive COVID-19 test.
Right, and that's going to be interesting to see if there's any lingering effects. I know we don't know a ton of stuff about COVID. We're learning more and more as we go on throughout this pandemic. But maybe Corey Crawford, you know, if you're an Oilers fan, you're looking at it, you go, well, maybe there's some lingering effects. And you hope that at some point Malcolm Subban has to see the net, because although Malcolm Subban has a winning record this season, this is just my take on him. He's never really risen to the expectation that came in with his career in Boston and then, of course, in Vegas and then now with the Blackhawks. So we did see Malcolm Subban in yesterday's game. Was there anything that you liked about his game? And, you know, would that help the Blackhawks fans to know that, you know, he looks like he's potentially sharp, helping solidify the shutout win that the Hawks got yesterday with Corey Crawford?
Yeah, Subban, he looked all right for the most part. He made 10 saves himself. He came in and I think 30 seconds in, he made a nice shoulder save on a 2-on-1. So he handled the role pretty well. And I think that does give the Blackhawks fans a little bit more confidence if he does have to make an appearance against the Oilers. Of course, that would probably be – it probably wouldn't go very well for the Hawks. As Subban, as you said, has never really risen to the occasion ever since being a first-round pick a handful of years ago. But he did play well, and that was certainly encouraging to see if he does have to come in. But the Blackhawks and their fans certainly want to see Corey Crawford for every minute of that series against Edmonton. It will make them feel a lot more comfortable. And I also want to ask what's been going on with the Oilers goaltender situation. I've been seeing who started in the exhibition game on Tuesday.
Mikko Koskinen,
I thought
Jack.
So. I thought he did.
And I'll tell you this. I mean, both goalies actually looked pretty good, and the lone goal was scored against Mike Smith. And you could make the case that that was goalie interference. Of course, it was Matthew Tkachuk right there, you know, definitely making contact with Mike Smith. Both guys are fighting for that net. They both want it. And it was interesting to see how everything played out in warm-up on Tuesday night, because it was Mikko Koskinen that led the team onto the ice. And generally, that tells you who's starting. Mm-hmm. And it was Mikko Koskinen that did get the start. But both goalies weren't like tipping their hat to who was getting the start because they're kind of lingering around the bench. And I was on the pregame show and our afternoon host was down at the rink and he was kind of giving us this funny play-by-play about, well, I don't know who's going off first. Well, now they're toying with everybody. And I think perhaps that Dave Tippett has already begun the mind games for Jeremy Colleton, because it was Mike Smith in net to start all three games against the Blackhawks. And the Hawks beat the Oilers 2 out of 3 games that they faced each other. Both of those, of course, coming in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned that the Oilers weren't particularly good in that game on March 5th, where Chicago chased Mike Smith. Mikko Koskinen came in, held the fort. But by then, the game was already out of reach for the Oilers. Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's a mental thing that Dave Tippett's already trying to instill into this series. Who knows? I could be reading.
It's working on me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, and now all of a sudden we have all this mystery and intrigue going into Saturday, which is just fine because it gets the juices flowing. It stirs the pot. People are talking about it, and everyone's curious. But it seems like, at least from an Oilers point of view, that the team has a lot of confidence in either one of those guys. And for the most part this season, both of those guys, Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, have really given this Oilers club a chance to win on most nights. And that's all you can ask for. And I think that's probably what Chicago wants out of Corey Crawford. Let the skill guys come in and do what they need to do. Just make the save, especially when we need it, and give us a chance up front to make it happen. And speaking of that, too, I wanted to ask you about the young guys that we talked about yesterday. You know, DeBrincat, Kubalik, who had 2 against St. Louis, Strome, who scored. Kajula is another guy we've talked about. Alex Nylander. Did any of those guys really impress you? Does it look like they're ready for this 5-game series, potentially against the Edmonton Oilers?
Dominic Kubalik looked like the Blackhawks' best player right from the get-go. He was dominant, and what I really liked to see was that Jeremy Colleton, before the game, he moved Kubalik back up to that top line with Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad, which is right where he should be. They were fantastic in the second half of the season. He bumped DeBrincat down to the third line, and it really made a difference. The Blackhawks had all their forward lines rolling, but Dominic Kubalik was really impressive, Tom. And also, Kirby Dach lived up to the hype that he's been getting in training camp. He was noticeably stronger on the puck. He got some power play time and picked up a really nice assist on Kubalik's first power play goal. So I thought both those guys looked tremendous. Alex Nylander was pretty decent. He had some nice plays on the back check. He forced a couple turnovers in the defensive zone. So that was good to see from Nylander. He still has a couple boneheaded moves he does every game. That's just kind of the guy he is, where I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I have one or two of those a game where I'm like, Nylander, what are you doing, bud? Like, you have all the talent in the world. I know you can do this, but just make some questionable plays. But he still had a pretty nice performance. Really nice to see Dylan Strome get a goal as well. So I thought the Blackhawks young guys played really well against St. Louis, and that's the kind of effort and performance they're going to need against the Edmonton Oilers if they hope to pull off the upset, Tom.
Jack Buschman from Locked On Blackhawks and Tom Gazzola from Locked On Oilers coming at you as we get set for the Oilers and Blackhawks series, which kicks off on Saturday, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Central, and I know both fan bases are just raring to go for this one. Jack, we talked about the young forwards. We talked about the game overall. We talked about the goaltending when it comes to the Blackhawks. 4-0 win over St. Louis on Wednesday. Edmonton had a 4-1 win over Calgary Tuesday night. Let's quickly focus on the defense for the Chicago Blackhawks. This is something that you said is an area of concern for this club. How did it hold up and perform against St. Louis the other night?
They actually held up pretty well. I thought Duncan Keith and Adam Boqvist looked pretty solid together. They received the majority of the minutes on that top pairing. And then also, Connor Murphy and Calvin DeHaan, they both have missed a chunk of time this training camp due to injuries. And, DeHaan was out because of a family emergency, actually. Mm-hmm. But both guys did miss time in training camp. So they were a little rusty in the first period. DeHaan took 2 penalties in the opening 12 minutes, I believe. But as the game went on, they got better as they got a little more comfortable with game action again. So overall, I was really happy with what I saw out of the Blackhawks defense, and allowing the St. Louis Blues to put up only 21 shots on goal, including only 4 in the third period. That's best case scenario for me.
I'll say this about the Blues, and I kind of want to get your take too, but Jake Allen on that second Kubalik goal, that was an absolute stinker. Gross. Through the 7 hole. And, you know, Jake Allen, he's a backup goalie for a reason. When they did give him the reins in St. Louis, they were the last place team a season ago. And then until Jordan Binnington really came in and solidified that spot on the roster, that team without a paddle, lost at sea.
Right.
They go on to win the Stanley Cup because the roster in front of it was that good. That's my take on it. But what did you make of the Blues and their performance really quickly? Because I know the Flames pushed back pretty good against the Oilers on Tuesday, and those are bitter rivals like the Blues and the Blackhawks.
The Blues kind of fell flat in that second half of the game. Like I said, they were down multiple goals in the third period, and they only put up 4 shots on Malcolm Subban, who's a guy you really want to pepper. You know you can squeak a couple through on him. So it was kind of if I were a Blues fan, it was a discouraging effort for sure, especially after Jordan Binnington left the game. Jake Allen came in, and that was a horrible goal he allowed. Dominic Kubalik to score for his second power play goal of the game. A really weak goal, and it just looked like once Binnington went out of the contest, the team didn't have much energy. They weren't skating. The boys weren't buzzing at all. They weren't doing the things that the St. Louis Blues normally do. I couldn't believe that they only put up 4 shots on Malcolm Subban in the third period. It is an exhibition game, Tom, but at the same time, you only get one of them. So it was interesting to see that the Blues kind of fell flat, to be honest.
I'm wondering if a team like St. Louis that is in the round robin series maybe looks at this exhibition game yesterday and then the round robins themselves is maybe a 4-game exhibition in itself, and they don't really care about the seeding because they could face any team really depending on how the qualifying rounds go. So maybe the Blues are easing into it a little bit, but you know, good on the Blackhawks for playing the way they did, and I'm sure that gives a lot of people confidence going into this series against the Oilers. An unexpected win maybe. And all of a sudden, I know here in Edmonton, people are looking at that and going, oh, maybe this isn't a cakewalk for the Oilers. And rightly so. That's probably good to sharpen up the Oilers' mindset and be like, hey, we can't just turn it on or turn it off and to completely rely on our talent to win this series. Now, having said that, Jack, I want to ask you your prediction for this series and how do you think this Oilers-Blackhawks series will play out starting Saturday?
Oof. There's going to be a lot of determining factors, I think. A couple things I jotted down that I wanted to talk about. I think the big head-to-head matchups we're going to see that are going to determine the series, I think it's going to come down to whether Jonathan Toews and David Camp's line can stop the Oilers' top 6. We know what that offense can do. And I also think that it's going to come down to which defense will help out their goaltender more. Mm-hmm. I don't think the defense is the strong suit for either of these teams, but which defense can rise to the occasion and help out their goaltender more. And I think it's also going to come down to the special teams play. Can the Hawks power play match the Oilers? Because you know, at some point they're going to get theirs. And if not, it could be a long series, but Tom, if the Hawks play like they did last night, I think they can without a doubt pull off the upset of the Oilers. But at the same time, I'm just not too confident that they're going to be able to play that consistent throughout the series. We never really saw them consistently perform through a handful of games in the regular season. We saw performances like this in the regular season where they beat good teams dominantly, and then we saw them lose to the Detroit Red Wings. So
yep.
You don't know what team's going to show up. So for me, something in the back of my head, I want the Hawks to win so badly, but I feel like this is going to be an Oilers series in 5 games. But if the Hawks come ready to play, I definitely think they can take the series in 5 games as well.
Like the Blackhawks, the Oilers missed opportunities against the Detroit Red Wings this season, gave away points, as we like to say.
So hurt.
It's awful, isn't it? That's a terribly awful team in Detroit. But I'm looking at this series, and you bring up the defense, and both teams' defense, you know, could be suspect at times. And can the Oilers' blue line hold off the Hawks' attack? Can the Oilers' goaltenders, whichever ones get the starts in games, because it sounds like we will likely see both guys make those saves at the key times in the games. And then I think if the Oilers are to be successful, they're going to have to find ways to expose Chicago's defense. It's going to have to be both the McDavid line and the Draisaitl line just picking on whatever weaknesses they see in Chicago's defense and just creating and buzzing and making as much havoc in front of the net as possible and then capitalizing on those opportunities. If the Oilers ease off at all and rest on their laurels and get it in their head for some reason that they just should win, Jack, then I could see Chicago pulling this off, but I don't think that's going to happen. The Oilers have been razor sharp throughout training camp and at times on Tuesday against Calgary. I think Edmonton walks away in 4 games with this series.
You guys got Big Jesus, so I can't argue with you.
And he looks like he is jacked and ready to go.
You weren't lying, dude. You said he looks scary, and then he made Noah Hanifin look so dumb on that second goal he scored. I was like, oh, boy.
And you know what? Noah Hanifin's not in and small group of players because Connor McDavid has been able to do that to a lot of defensemen, and I feel like we're going to be seeing him adding to that list throughout his career. But Jack, this is going to be two sharp young teams with some absolute studs at forward, some of the game's best, and in Chicago, some proven winners, and in Edmonton, guys who are hungry to do what the Hawks were able to do in the early half of the 2010s. I can't wait to see the puck drop on Saturday, and it's been an absolute pleasure doing the crossover series with you, and we should do it again, obviously. And let's enjoy this series, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. Puck drop cannot come soon enough. We're barely over 48 hours away. Got the clock ticking down. I got the timer on my phone. I'm ready to go. Yeah, definitely, Tom. This was a lot of fun. I would definitely love to have another episode, maybe talk about the series as it goes on next week.
I think that's doable, and I think that a few social sparklers during the game, crack a brew or two during, you know, every game is also doable, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a couple, without a doubt.